Today's chapter, Yeshayahu Perek Gimel, continues the themes expressed in Yeshayahu Perek Bet. Chapter 3 continues the themes from chapter 2. It deals with the issue of those who are proud and arrogant, but more specifically, it deals with the national leadership, with the leadership of the Jewish people, and accuses them of not recognizing God's sovereignty. More specifically, it deals with them not recognizing God's sovereignty by abusing their positions of power and mistreating those below them. In other words, they see themselves as sovereign and don't recognize that above them is a sovereign. They see themselves as above the people, rather than seeing themselves on the same level as the people, because above all of them is God. In order to properly understand Perek Gimel, it is necessary to devote a little bit of attention to some of the verses in Perek Aleph, in chapter 1, which we did not have time to attend to 2 days ago. These verses at the very end of Perek Aleph are contained in a section entitled Echa Haita Lezona Kirya Ne'emana. How has the loyal and faithful city become a harlot? These last 10 verses of Yeshayahu Perek Aleph are not a central part of our Haftarot, but they are actually the Haftarah for 2 weeks before Tisha B'Av, according to the custom of the Jews from Teman. In any case, these verses contain an indictment of the leadership and mention specific types of actions that the leadership of the Jewish people has done in order to bring the leadership into disrepute. The Navi speaks as follows. Sarayich sorerim v'chavrei ganavim. Your officers are rebels. They are friends of thieves. Kulo ohev shochad v'rodef shalmonim. They run after bribes and chase. They love bribes and chase after gifts. La yatom lo yishpotu v'riv almana lo yavo alehem. They do not judge the orphan. The case of the widow doesn't come before them. In other words, the leadership, both political and judicial, is governed by self-interest. This type of behavior is mentioned and indicted in Perek Gimel. The chapter begins with a punishment that God will mete out upon the leaders. It starts out with the statement, Ki hineh ha'adon Hashem tzvakot, behold, the Master, the Lord God of legions, Mesir miYerushalayim umiYehuda, Mash'enu mash'ena, God will remove from Jerusalem and from Judah anyone upon whom others can rely. Chomish an lechem v'chomish an mayim, anyone on whom people can rely for food or for water. Gibor v'ish milchama, shofet v'navi v'kosem v'zaken, God will remove all of the political leaders, all of the military leaders, all of the judicial leaders, even the prophets who are employed by the court, who are not necessarily true prophets, all of them will be removed, the prophet says. And what will be left is a very, very poor leadership, a leadership which is not really worthy of its position, but which has to be a leader because simply there's no one else. The Navi expresses this in extremely figurative language in chapter 3, pasuk 6. Ki yitpos ish be'achiv beit aviv, simla lecha, katzin tiye lanu, v'hamachshela hazot tachat yadecha. On that day when all of the authentic leaders, even those who have perhaps acted improperly, but have a legitimate claim to be leaders because they have popular support, when all of those leaders are removed, what will be left is only young men and fools. And on that day, a man will grab his brother in their family house and say, you at least have a piece of clothing. You be the leader. And let this failure of a nation be under your control. The words are extremely expressive. Simla lecha, katzin tiye lanu, v'hamachshela hazot tachat yadecha. It is a particularly poignant description of a leadership which has not even a scrap of a claim to legitimacy, and which nevertheless must try to lead. Now, why is it that the original leaders have gone? Why is the nation left in the hands of those whose only real claim to leadership is that they have a piece of clothing, so that they can actually walk in the streets, as opposed to all the rest of the people who are totally devastated and devoid of any property, including even basic clothing. The Navi explains this in Pasuk Tet. Hakarat penehem antavam v'chatatam kistom higidu lo chichedu oilen afsham ki gamlu lahem ra'a. Their favoring people in judgment has responded against them. In other words, their actions in judgment, when they favor certain people and show disfavor towards those who are not bribing them, that very action has become a witness against them. Sort of the failed judicial process becoming a witness. V'chatatam ki sdom higidu. Their sins speak like those of stone. They do not hold back. How do their sins speak like those of stone? What have they done wrong? Here the Navi emphasizes how important it is to judge fairly, and how important it is for a judge to be impartial. Partiality in justice is considered a sin like that of stone. He goes on, Oy l'nafsham, ki gamlu lahem ra'a. Woe to their very souls, for they have caused them evil. Now, to whom have these failed leaders caused evil? Well, on one hand, they have caused great evil to those who came before them in judgment. They have failed to judge them fairly. On the other hand, as the Radak explains here, the verse contains a double entendre, a second meaning. Oy l'nafsham, ki gamlu lahem ra'a. These failed leaders have caused evil to their very own souls, because they have caused the destruction of their souls by showing partiality and justice. The Nevuah continues with a statement of God's judging those who have failed in their acts of judgment of the Jewish people. Nitzav lariv Hashem ve'omed ladin amim. In verse 13, God will stand in a court. God will rise up to judge nations. In what? Why is it that God was here, who is the judge of nations? How is he also judging the people? The next verse explains, Hashem b'mishpat yavo im ziknei amo v'sarav. God will come in justice against the... God will come in justice, as a justice, against the elders of the people and their officers. What exactly does that mean, that God will, on the one hand, judge the nations, and on the other hand, judge the leaders of his people? The Radak here explains, Al tachshivu ki lo ya'anishchem ha'el al ha'ra'ot she'ta'asu. Don't you think that God will not punish you for the evils that you, the judges, have done? Ki v'chol zman hu omed v'nitzav ladin kol ha'amim. At all times, God is standing to judge all nations. Kol sheken amo Yisrael. How much more so his own people Israel. Shehashgachato yoter aleihem. For his providence is more explicit and direct upon them. Mipnei shehem krovim elav yoter mishar ha'amim. Because they are closer to him than other nations are. In other words, the fact that you, the leaders, recognize that God will judge other nations and punish them for the evils they have perpetuated against the Jewish people ought to sensitize you, the leaders, to the fact that God will judge you, yourselves. The language the prophet employs against these leaders is particularly expressive. Three words. Ve'atem bi'artem hakerem. You have grazed in the vineyard. Now, what's wrong with grazing in a vineyard? And what does it mean here to graze in a vineyard? V'atem bi'artem hakerem. Well, it's first necessary to understand the role of a vineyard in ancient agricultural society. A vineyard is a type of agricultural plantation which requires an enormous amount of effort. It requires dedication. It requires love, much more so than an average wheat field. A vineyard requires a lot of very, very careful attention. It requires first fencing around to ensure that animals don't come into it. It requires careful weeding. It requires very careful irrigation, as well as careful pruning. The prophet will return to the theme of the kerem later on in Perek Hei. But here, as in Perek Hei, he compares the Jewish people to a kerem. The Jewish people are a vineyard. What have you, the leaders, done to God's vineyard? You have grazed in it. Think of a big fat cow walking around and grazing in this vineyard. For the big fat cow, the grapes that the farmer has so tenderly raised are not really important. All the cow wants is the leaves of the vineyard. The cow could just as well eat grapes, eat leaves off of any other tree, or eat grass in any other field. But the cow sees the vineyard, sees green leaves, and goes for it. You, the leaders of the Jewish people, could just as well have gotten your food in an honest way. You've earned a living honestly. Instead, you have mistreated the Jewish people. You have mistreated God's vineyard. You have treated them contemptuously, as though they were nothing. And you have failed to recognize their value to God. In other words, in the three words, Ve'atem bi'artem hakerem, the prophet expresses, on the one hand, the abuse that the leaders are perpetuating against the rest of the Jews, and on the other hand, the prophet expresses the contempt that these leaders have for God's control of the Jewish people and for his special relationship to Israel. The prophet continues with a somewhat more explicit statement, Gzeilat ha'ani bevateichem, that which is stolen from the poor man is in your houses. Malachem tedakeu ami, why are you bringing low my people? Ufnei aniyim titchanu, another expressive phrase. You grind the faces of the poor. In other words, instead of getting your bread by grinding flour, it is as if you are grinding the faces of the poor. Here too, an accusation, an indictment of the leaders for the contempt they show towards the rest of the people, connected with failure to recognize God's sovereignty. And the conclusion of this passage, just as the beginning of the passage mentions a very specific name of God, Ne'um Hashem Elokim Tzevakot. The passage, chapter 3, begins with the name Tzevakot, the name God of legions, which emphasizes God's power, God of armies. And this passage also ends with the name Hashem Tzevakot, God of armies, God of power. If you recognize God's power, you ought to recognize that he is above you, and your judging of the people should reflect your awareness of God's power. The last few the last 10 verses of this chapter are directed at a different group within the Jewish people. They are directed specifically at the women, at Benot Zion, the daughters of Zion. Here too, the accusation that the prophet levels against them is one of arrogance. He expresses it in the way that, in their body language, in the way that they walk, in the way that they speak. Vayomer Hashem, Ya'an ki gavhu benot Zion, vatelachna netuyot garon, because the daughters of Zion have become haughty and walk with their necks stretched out. Umsakirot einayim, and they seek around with their eyes. In other words, it's an expression of greed, looking at everything around and trying to acquire it. Halach v'tafof telachna, they walk and beat as they walk. Uvuraglehem titakasna, these are difficult phrases which seem to refer to some form of jewelry worn on the feet, which causes a beat as these women walk, some sort of style which the prophet indicts. This type of behavior seems to indicate a concern with self-gratification, a concern with acquiring more, a concern with wearing the most fashionable possible clothing, while at the same time ignoring the plight of all the rest of the people who are in terrible economic shape. The Navi then devotes no less than 7 verses to a description of all the types of jewelry that these women are wearing, and to a description of how God will remove all these types of jewelry. This indictment is very similar in many ways to the indictment leveled in Perek Bet, in which the prophet speaks about the removal of gold, of silver, of horses, of military equipment, all those things that men are proud of. He speaks about God removing in Perek Bet to remove the men's pride. Here he speaks about the removal of all of the women's jewelry as a way of expressing the removal of the source of the women's pride. I will just read through these verses, which speak about the removal of the objects of women's pride, without going into detail attempting to translate each of these objects. You'll just get a sense of how very many of them there are, and how the Prophet intentionally devotes a very long discussion to the removal of all of these types of jewelry and fancy clothing. Bayom ha'hu yasir Hashem et tiferet ha'achasim v'hashevisim v'hasaharonim ha'netifot v'hasherot v'hare'alot ha'pe'irim v'hatze'adot v'hakishurim uvatei ha'nefesh v'halechashim ha'taba'ot v'nizmei ha'af ha'machlat'chalatzot והמעטפות והמטפחות והחרטים והגיליונים והסדינים והצניפות והרדידים. There was the continual emphasis on the removal of all these types of objects. The bringing low of the women is expressed in their final abasement in the very, very last verse of this perek, which is actually in the Christian division here indicated as the first verse of perek Dalet. Ve'echeziku sheva nafshim be'ish echad. Seven women will grab a hold of one man. And seven here is a typological number. It means many. Many women will grab a hold of one man on that day. Bayom ahu lemor. Lachmenu nochel v'simlatenu nilbash. Rak yikare shimcha aleinu esof cherpatenu. We will eat our own food. We'll wear our own clothing. In other words, you have no responsibility to us to upkeep us or to support us. Let only your name be called upon us. Let us stop being embarrassed. In other words, after God will remove all the sources of women's pride, they will themselves be abased, and their abasement is shown by their willingness to enter a very disrespectful type of marriage, only in order to remove their shame and perhaps to provide protection from others. So the Prophet here spares no one in his indictment. He begins by speaking about the people generally, he continues with an indictment of the leaders, and he goes on to indict the women. The common theme that unites Perek Bet and Perek Gimel is this idea that pride, refusal to recognize God's control of the Jewish people, refusal to recognize God's control of the world, is arrogant. People have to recognize above them as God. That ought to lead people to an acceptance that they have a responsibility towards those who are less fortunate than they, because those who are less fortunate than a person are not below you, rather they are on the same level as you. We are all on the same level, and above us is God.